two giant goofballs is shot live in front of a streaming audience.
Welcome to Two Giant Goofballs, a New York Giants podcast. Are you a goofball that loves Giants football? If so, sit back and relax.
Except you, that person driving. Sit up and keep your eyes on the road.
Your ears, though, can still listen as we talk about the team that both excites and frustrates us so much. And now, here are your goofball hosts, Drew and Rob.
Welcome, fellow goofballs, to Two Giant Goofballs, New York Giants podcast. I am Drew, joined as always by...
I'm Rob. Let's talk about all them quarterbacks.
There are like it's almost like the room is made out of an octagon or something here. We got 15
polygons,
top 15 corners that we're gonna go over here in this upcoming draft. So we got a lot of people to go through here. Plus we got some Giants news here, guys. We signed the new player, if you haven't heard here, over the weekend. So new Giant, we got to go over that with you guys. And there's some NFL news today, including a division rival signing one of their top players here, receiver, to a $25 million a year extension. So that's a big chunk of change. Let's get right into it here with number of our top corners for the 2024 NFL draft. And that's Kalen Carson out of Wake Forest here. And listen, we're going to go over a lot of information on these guys here. So again, I always got to remind people, we're going to have all this stuff here for you guys also on YouTube. So if you haven't already checked out the YouTube, go ahead and, subscribe there. All the draft profiles will be there individual for you guys as well. We're going to end up with, I think we did the math, like 100, 110 different profiles there. So any of the shows that we've done, if you missed anything or you go, what about this player? What about that player? They're all right there for you. So enjoy them all there for you. But yeah, number 15, like I said, is going to be Kalen Carson of Wake Forest. We'll have the video in a second. I forgot to upload the videos. Can you believe that? This is just tells you how much lately. I'm just that big old dope, yeah. That's why I'm buying some time here as I talk about YouTube here. But you all still should go to YouTube either way. Anyway, Kalen Carson, 6 foot, even 195 pounds, 22 years old here. Interesting guy overall because he's got a little bit of versatility to him there. Only 3 interceptions, though, in 4 years. That's one of the things I like to look at, because we come out from, we had obviously Adoree Jackson here the last couple of years, to be our top corner. And let's be honest here and say Adoree Jackson was not an interception guy. And I feel like that was something that bothered this current regime, whereas it didn't necessarily bother the prior regime. So we're going to, it's something to look at there. Like, okay, what are we going to do here? Are we going to go ahead and get a guy who can't get interceptions again? Because that clearly bothered Shane and bothered Dable, or else they would have potentially looked at keeping him. And I don't mean keeping him this offseason. It was a foregone conclusion last offseason that we weren't going to keep him. 2022, he had 8 games, 22 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 7 passes deflected. In 23, he had 11 games, 42 tackles, 1 tackle deflected. I said 1 tackle for loss, 8 passes deflected, 1 fumble recovery. And had a 73.7 PFF grade. Now, this is the only season, guys, that he played in at least 10 games. That's one concern for me. I'm at that point now where I'm so tired of having guys that play for the Giants that just for whatever reason cannot stay healthy, cannot keep going here. And yeah, I'm just done with it here. Let's play the video for him real quick, and then we'll get into our pros and cons. Gotta please play the video. Caleb forgot to upload before the episode. Here's the pros and cons here for you. So as far as the pros, good body control, fluid movement, good top end speed, physical, helps the run. So there's a lot of good in him that you can't teach. And that's what's got him on this list here. As far as the cons, technique is bad. And basically he's dependent on his athleticism overall. His ankles aren't good. His footwork isn't good. And again, lacks interception. if you can get past the interception part with him, I feel like you got a guy here who you can go, okay, you know what? Is this a guy that I think we can develop and have him become a good, you know, player in this league?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be probably your third.
You got a guy who hasn't played much. You got to question that overall. I'm sorry, you were saying?
Oh, you know, that's it. I was going to say, you have to question his lack of play. You got to question, like, the technique. Technique is something you could – he's got the stuff that you can't teach Ari in him. But he's also dependent on his, you know, athleticism to make up for his bad technique. If he wants to stay in this league, he's going to have to work on that technique. I mean, you draft him, you take a chance, he's probably, like, your cornerback.
I wouldn't even say that. I think if you're taking him at 15, I think he's going to end up being a guy who goes in, like, round three. He's a potential that if you want to put him in the slot maybe to start off his career, I could see him entering the starting lineup in that respect. But you got to understand the technique issues off the bat. He did do 77 snaps at the slot position, 521 out of the outside corner. So, again, he played mostly outside corner when it comes to the last couple of years there in college. But that doesn't mean he can't necessarily expand upon that, you know? And I think that's something that you kind of expect him to do potentially, because if you want to make it in this league and you're not one of the top two, that's your spot. Is you're going to make it on that kind of position where you can go ahead and do something special on special teams. You're going to do something special in the nickel and dime packages, which nickel and dime packages have now become a starting position, basically, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see him move a lot towards the inside, and you're going to want to develop him before you put him on the outside. You get a little more help on the inside, whether it's a linebacker or safety. You know, there's some guys up in the middle that can help you out with some things when you make some mistakes, unless they take the top off you. That's a whole other issue. So, yeah, I think if you have the right guy and you have a guy that you feel confident can go ahead and teach him technique, can teach him, you know, fixing, especially the footwork issue. Angles, there's some guys who just never get it. But footwork is something that if you don't got it, you're screwed. In this league, you are screwed. Like, he's got to fix that issue. He's got to figure that out. As long as he seems coachable, and you got the right guy, do you think can coach him? Then go for it if you can get him in the third round. That could be a steal if he fixes that footwork, because he's got the athleticism. He's got the stuff, again, you can't teach. But you got to be confident in that coachability factor.
Correct.
Alrighty, number 14, Kalen King out of Penn State. Now, this is a guy, if you had talked to a lot of people here earlier on in this thing, like, you know, as the season was ending, midseason, they would have said this guy would be so much further up this list, it's not even funny. He had a much better 22 than 23. And there's a couple of categories that you get into with people that had great second to last year. Either they're trying to save themselves because they're trying to make sure they're healthy for the draft, or they got injured already and they're just not, you know, not 100%, or teams figured him out. Kalen King goes in the teams figured him out category. So the question is, can he reinvent himself, sort of? Because I'll tell you this, this guy embarrassed himself point blank at the Senior Bowl. And I hate to say it that way, because listen, I hope well for all these kids, because listen, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to enter the NFL, to become, you know, a professional football player, which is the lifelong dream for all these guys at that point. But point blank, he got embarrassed at the Senior Bowl. That was like one of the top things out there, was talking about how great number one was. And I'm not going to give up that name yet, but we'll talk about that. But how bad Kalen King was. And that's what kind of solidified everybody's head that, okay, it wasn't, you know, him taking it easy. It wasn't him being injured, because he came in healthy. People figured him out. As far as the tape on him, 5'11", 191 pounds, 21 years old, 22, 13 games, 30 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 3 interceptions, 1 forced fumble, and 1 fumble recovery. 23, 12 games, 29 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, 2 passes defended there with just a 60.3 PFF grade. That's bad. That's really bad. The only reason he's on this list, point blank, is because of 22. If you're going based on 23, he's undrafted probably. That's how bad his year was.
Yeah.
If you watch this tape, though, and you think you can fix him, you're going to take a shot late. Later than especially you would have gotten him at the end of the year.
I was going to say, especially if you get a shot taking him like in the fourth round, then you kind of have to, you know.
Yeah. And that's where I think he's going to be. Third, fourth round is where I think I see him. Here's to give you a stat on how much different his 22 to 23 was. In 23, he allowed 82.4 passer rating. The prior year, 48.9. That's a big damn jump. So, but again, you do see some of it. He's also got a little bit of experience in the slots. Maybe somebody tries to work with him, and like we talked about with Carson, work with him while they put him in, you know, in diamond nickel packages there. He's got 21 snaps last year at slot. Everything else, 391 at the corner spot there. As far as the pros and cons, there's pros is versatile because he can play zone or man. He's done either one with no problem. Helps in the run. He's got a good burst. Fast in the short term as well. As far as the cons, he's small with short arms. A little T-Rexy.
Yeah.
Inconsistent footwork. He's got bad long speeds. I mentioned he's fast in the short term. He can't keep up with the guys who can hold on to that kind of speed. He's good in short bursts. And he tends to grab when he gets beat. Which, don't get me wrong, I always tell people there are bad pass interference calls and there are good pass interference calls. A good one is somebody's going to beat you down the field for a touchdown and you stop them, and you may have lost 15 yards, but at least you didn't give up a touchdown. I'll take that pass interference call all day long. But if your instinct is automatically to grab somebody when you get beat and not try to catch up with them, not try to fix it, not try to, figure something else out, that's the issue. And that is his instinct. So that's got to get broken. But the footwork has also got to get fixed as well, because that's what's really, I think, messed him up this year. I think people figured out that if they just move in certain directions, certain ways at that point there, he doesn't have the footwork to keep up with the moves and the twitch from some of the better receivers that are able to pull off those kind of moves. And that's in college. When you go to the pros, guess what? They all can make those kind of moves. He's going to have to figure that out. So.
Got a juke win, so you should have jived.
Jump and jiving. Then you got to jump and jiving. But yeah, again, round three or four, it's going to be a matter of if somebody picks him because of what he did last year is round three, and if somebody picks him because they think they can fix him, it's going to be round four. That's the truth of the matter there. All righty. Next up, number 13, Josh Newton out of TCU. All righty. So again, out of TCU the last 2 years. Prior to that, he played a few years over at Louisiana Monroe from 19 to 21 there. 6 foot even, 190 pounds, 23 years old. So a little bit on the older side there. In 22, 15 games, 35 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, 3 interceptions, 1 for a touchdown, and 12 passes deflected. In 23, 12 games, 33 tackles, 1 interception, 9 passes deflected, a 76.9 PFF grade there. And, you know, he became kind of their number one corner this year as well. Remember, Tavarius Thomas and Hodges got drafted this past year. That was a guy that we were pretty high on. As a potential mid-round kind of guy to step in and get a starting role. Unfortunately, he didn't show up. He had injury issues, I believe, his rookie year and all was it the Rams, I think, got him in the end?
I believe so.
Kind of remember enough for a year ago. But yeah, Josh Newton stepped in and did pretty good. He did what you kind of expect an experienced corner to do. Didn't shy away from having that limelight of being that number one guy there for him. And I think it's a guy that's going to have an interesting career overall. Another guy did some slot work there. That sounded a little dirty. Did some slot work, 51 snaps at slot, 620 on the outside there. Pros, tough, instinctive, quick feet, fluid hips. As far as the cons, not the greatest against the run, and speed isn't legit as far as that eliteness there. So if you're going to put him against a really, really quick guy, he's going to have issues keeping him up, you know, with him. If you're going to put him against the run, he's 190 pounds. People are going to steamroll over him potentially. This is one of those guys that he's down the list because he's got the skills. He's got the technique, but he has physical limitations. And you got to be able to work around that. If you're putting him on a goal line stance, you're probably in trouble.
Agreed. That is definitely not the guy you want there.
the
running back is 230 pounds, but he's only 190 pounds.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same problem all these guys have had. If you notice that with all these names we've listed so far, not a single one's been over 200 pounds. There's some weak corners this year, which is the same as we said last year, too. So didn't seem to affect the running game too much last year. So we'll see. We keep on having year after year of tiny corners if it starts having an issue with outside runs and all. Tony, I said that if I was an offensive coordinator, I was a run game manager, whatever the case may be for an offense, I'd be looking at that like, wait a minute, string of small corners. Why don't we just run to the outside?
It's a whole bunch of small corners in the past 2 years.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They've been there. You know, as far as zone and man, he's played both. I think he does play better in zone. I think partially because, again, he's smart, he's instinctive, he's got good technique, but he lacks that elite speed. So if you put him in a zone cover spot and give him like, this is your spot, you make sure no one in this spot catches the ball. The ball does not get past you in this spot.
Yeah.
That's where he's better at. I think probably like round two or three is where he's going to go. You're going to see a lot of corners going early in this draft. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, what groups are good and what groups aren't so good in this draft. This definitely goes in the good category. There's a lot of good corners. This is a guy that I think in a lot of drafts would go year two, no doubt. But there's so many top end corners. He may very well slip into that third round. And someone who gets him, I think, is going to get a decent player for a while.
Yeah.
All righty. Next up.
Oh, next.
We have Jersey Pride here from Rutgers, home of the Fat Cat sandwiches, Max Melton. Yeah, I got to say it real quick, because we try to do these little short videos here for you guys on every player we talk about here. And I get a lot of these off different GIF sites, you know, try to keep it nothing crazy so we'll get sued for copyright infringement or taking video from a telecast or something. Kudos to Rutgers, by the way, because Max has, I think, the longest of all the video intros, because they made really, really long GIFs for some reason for him. But not so kudos, because really that's the best you can do. Him slow turning around with the phone in his hand. Like, that's the best you could do? Like, we've had some interesting ones. We had one with a Chucky head doll in his hand. We've had, yelling at the camera. Like, the best you can do is him. And, like, that's the best you can do is turning around slowly. We got, like, most of these guys have like a 7 or 9 second thing. He's got a 21 second one. That's because they just did slow mo with him. Anyway, Max Melton here. Like I said, out of Rutgers, 6 foot even, 190 pounds. Again, we got these tiny, tiny guys here. It's like there's something about these tiny guys here. 21 years old, so decent age there wise. In 22, 12 games, 33 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. 2 interceptions, 10 passes deflected, and a fumble recovery. In 23, 12 games, 32 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 3 interceptions, 6 passes deflected, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, and a 73.1 PFF grade. Another guy that on the outside primarily there, looking at the 60 spots in the slot there, 487 at the outside corner. So this has been an outside heavy draft so far for us here. We do have a couple slot guys, I promise you guys. as far as the pros and cons here, pros hard to shake. That's a good thing, by the way, in a corner. If you have, can't guess, like, he's got that glue mentality. He's also got some pretty good hands, and that's twofold. That's in coverage wise, meaning that he's good at his punch at that point. He's also good at getting his hand up at that point when the ball's in the air. That's why he's got a lot of pass deflections there. But he's also got good hands as far as interceptions as well. You know, he's got 5 interceptions the last 2 years at Rutgers in 24 games. Again, keep in mind, 24 games in the NFL is like a season and a half. So it's not a bad ratio there. As far as his cons, technique issues. He needs to get his head around as well. Sometimes the ball gets thrown and he just throws up his hands, or he doesn't even realize sometimes the ball is being thrown. It's like, because he's following the eyes of the actual receiver instead of looking back to see what's going on there. And he's good as far as his hands overall within the first 5, but he doesn't have that strength you want to have in that jam if you're going to put him into a man coverage kind of spot. He's got a pretty weak jam. But he is best in zone, so I think whoever drafts him is going to pop him in zone. It's not going to be too much of an issue, that part of it there, but I got to at least point it out there. But the technique issues is the big thing. I really think this is a guy that goes round three and he goes becomes kind of a project guy that you start as a CB2 and you hope can develop into a CB1 kind of guy. But he's going to have that high ceiling, low floor, I think, because if he doesn't improve those technique issues, he's going to end up being a dime nickel guy. And you're going to draft him in the third round. And you probably prefer to get a guy like that there on day three as opposed to day two. So, but he's worth the risk. He's worth the risk.
Yeah.
All righty. Next up, we have a guy that I like the last name just because I live in the area. TJ Tampa at Iowa State. Alrighty, so TJ, 6'2", 200 pounds. We finally got a 200-pounder. We finally got a 200-pounder, guys. Woo! We did it. It just took one-third of the way down the list.
I had faith that we would hit. There we did. We done it.
Just like George Michaels, he had faith. In 22, 12 games, 40 tackles, 5 tackles for a loss, 1 interception, 9 passes deflected, 1 forced fumble. 23. 12 games, 44 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, 7 passes deflected, and a 75.8 PFF grade. Almost exclusively on the outside, guys. He's only 18 spots in the slot compared to 6'14 on the outside. Pros-wise, good length, tracks the ball, physical, good jam. The cons, oversteps in his back pedal a little bit sometimes. The motion is there. The technique has just got to be fine-tuned a little bit there. He forgets to wrap up when he's tackling at times there. He's kind of that guy that kind of just spearheads at a running back at times. So listen, guys, when you're a corner, you can't do that. You're not big enough to take a guy down who's 240 pounds when you're barely 200. Okay, unless you know some kind of like karate move at that point where you can overcome the 40-pound difference.
Flying through the air, judo chop.
Yeah. I think a flying squirrel kick might get you kicked out of the game. Just saying.
Yeah. Sweeps the leg.
Got some bad angles on the outside runs too. His hips are a little bit stiff and he has trouble changing direction. And I really think a lot of this guy falls into that category of great technique for the most part. Again, excluding the one issue with the back pedal where he oversteps a little bit there. But for the most part, he's got pretty decent technique. He's got good football IQ. What he lacks, unfortunately, is a little bit of that athleticism. He doesn't have the high-end speed. He doesn't have that twitch ability at that point there. But if you can put him in a spot, I think, at man coverage where he's got some safety help above him, I think he could be a decent corner this league. Again, you have to just accept the limitations that come with him. There's a reason he's not a day one pick. He's probably going to go day two, somewhere in that second, third round there, depending on who picks and who needs what. Because, again, he's not going to be your zone guy, probably. He's going to be probably that press man guy that you give a little safety help to over the top. But not a bad player, I think. It's just a matter of, can you overcome the issues he had, athleticism?
I mean, there's plenty of guys in the NFL that you got to work to the strengths of the individual.
Yeah. Problem is, you get some coaching staff just don't want to do that. You know,
it's true.
I mean, we had, what's his name, with the Giants had from the Cardinals a couple of years ago. Why am I drawing a blank on him? The defensive coordinator we had. We're getting with all the Cardinals players left and right. Anybody in the comments section want to help out there? He's a defensive coordinator. It wasn't even under Judge. It was under
McAdoo.
Was it under McAdoo? No. I got to look him up now.
I'm not talking about with an S. You thinking of
James Betcher? There we go. James Betcher. I had to Google it to look up. James Betcher was the quintessential guy who, just for whatever reason, this is my system, you fit my system, or you just don't fit in here. That's what he was. That's why they hired so many people. They signed people from Arizona because they knew they fit the system. It's just, you need to have a guy who's able to work within the range of what he is. And unfortunately, his career is probably going to depend on who drafts him and how good they are at utilizing what he can do well. Because like I said, he's got plenty of good tools. There's just some limitations you got to go ahead and deal with, you know? So, all righty, guys. I know you keep on asking, where are the big guys in this draft? Where's the big, you know, corners? Well, guess what, guys? Let's bring on one of the smallest ones there is.
Great segue.
All right, Chris Abrams drained out of Missouri, the show me state. And they're going to show you is a tiny, tiny guy here. 5'11", 178 pounds. He's, that's got to be the smallest, I think, on this list. Nope, I take it back. The next guy's even smaller. Oh, my gosh. We got some tiny guys in this draft. 23 years old, played at Auburn. I'm sorry, 22 years old, played at, like I said, Missouri. Last year, I'm sorry, 22, I should say. 12 games, 48 tackles, 14 passes defended there. That's a good amount of deflections there. 14, I'll take that in 12 games. It's a pretty good high rate there. 23, 13 games, 58 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, 4 interceptions, 13 passes deflected, 1 forced fumble, and 85.8 PFF grade. Guys, that's 27 passes deflected in 25 games. Need I remind you that Missouri faces some pretty damn tough competition on pretty much a weekly basis. They have definitely
pretty much,
you know, yeah, one of the tougher schedules. You know, that is SEC, guys. That is legit SEC competition they're doing. And if you look at some of the guys they faced last year, you know, besides SEC, they also faced Ohio State last year. Like, this is as uncakewalk a schedule as you possibly get. So, yeah. I'll take an 85.8 PFF grade and averaging over 1 pass is deflected per game, because that's pretty damn good. Here's a guy that has some slot experience last year, 72 snaps at slot, 664 on the outside. I think he's going to have to move to the slot point blank full time in the NFL because of his size.
That size, too.
I mean, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, there's been guys that they've been trying to force feed into, you know, this thick outside spot where they're that tiny. And to me, it doesn't work. You got to spoil a guy like that. Like Emmanuel Forbes is the classic example last year. You know, you and I talked about him coming into the NFL. We said probably second round pick, probably have to move into the slot because of his size. They kept trying to force him outside, I felt like. And I just don't know. I didn't see a lot of good out of him on the outside there. I think you've got to go inside when you're that tiny, unfortunately. That is what it is. You know, it's like trying to put a point guard at the center position. It just doesn't work. Like there's natural sizes to see these things. You don't fit the size. You have to go in. You get one of these big receivers. Like, can you imagine them playing the Seahawks?
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. I mean,
DJ Metcalf's got like 40 pounds on him.
Yeah, like Metcalf looks like a linebacker. You know, even Lockett's not the smallest guy in the world at that point. You know, actually, he's a little tinier. But still, you're talking, he's going to have some trouble with somebody. Very fast, though. Very patient. He's flexible. He's got a very fast back pedal as well. His cons on him, size, bad tackler, and just not very helpful in the run game. Again, well, yeah, 178 pounds. You probably won't tackle well, and you probably won't help much in the run game. I really think this is a guy, like I said, you put in the slot. He can play man or zone. He's done both. He's better in the zone coverage at that point. And I think you put him in the zone coverage at a slot receiver spot, and you just see what you got. He's probably a guy that's going to go 3 or 4. But I think if you put him in the right spot, this could be like a shutdown slot corner kind of guy. He's got that kind of cover skills. Anytime you do that good in the SEC and get that many passes deflected, I'm going to come in to impress with the draft with you. Yeah, like you're doing something right. Exactly that. So, all righty. Let's get into an even smaller guy. Just when you think they couldn't get smaller, they get even smaller.
It's but wait, like, there's more.
Exactly. Next up, Oompa Loompa. Nope. yeah, Mike Sanristrella from Michigan. All right, so 5'10", 108, and oh, you know what? I skipped somebody. Hold on, I'm skipping people here. We can't do that. Let's unskip. We're unskipping right now. DJ James out of Auburn. All right. At least you know who's next now. It takes out some of the suspense. James played Auburn the last 2 years, played Oregon before that there. So he's been everywhere. He's been on both sides there of the country. 5'11", 170 pounds. He needs to be weighed coming out of the pool. Just add a couple pounds from the water weight. That's just like, yeah, that's pretty bad there. 22, 12 games, 37 tackles, one tackle for loss, one interception, which was for a touchdown, eight passes deflected. 23, 12 games, 38 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, two interceptions, 10 passes deflected with a 83.9 PFF grade. Again, I don't got to remind you guys, Auburn, great schedule. This is basically, we could have put him and Chris Abenstrain like right back to back as far as like this, copy this. It means it for this guy too, because they're very similar as far as pros and cons. They're really good players. They face really good competition, but they're probably going to have to become a guy that you put in the slot because of the size. Again, they're talking 170 pounds. We've lost 8 pounds to the last guy. Like, he's giving up 30 pounds since on a lot of them.
I haven't seen 170 pounds since I was going into high school.
I was in high school last time I was 170 some odd pounds. Yeah, that's a good point there. Goddamn. I'm old. But he doesn't have as much experience in the slot as Abram Strain does. That's the one issue that I would got to be a little concerned with there. But yeah, 32, that's it in the slot. And 605 snaps at the outside there. As far as the pros and cons, pros, great speed, changes direction as well, explosive. Cons, small, bad at jam, struggles in zone. This is the one difference you have between him and Abram Strain. Where do you fit, man or zone? If you're a man guy, DJ James. If you're a zone guy, Chris Abram Strain. That's basically the difference between these two guys, is what kind of system they fit in best. Either one of them, though, I think will be a really, really good slot corner for this league. I really just, there. If you watch their tape, these guys are like the Elmer's glue kind of guys at that point. It's just a matter of what kind of position you need them for, a man cover scheme or a zone cover scheme. So, all righty. Yeah. On to number 8, who we were a little early on before, perhaps.
A little premature.
Yes, Mike Sangerstill of Michigan. I don't know why I cannot say his name in a regular speed. It just is what it is. Sane wrist drill. I turn it to you. Usually you have any issues with the names at that point. Why don't you go for it?
So I can butcher this too.
Yeah, there you go. We'll just go right to the video. Okay. All right. 182 pounds. We're going in the right direction, guys. We're back in the 180s. We're back in the 180s. 23 years old. Started out his career at Michigan actually as a wide receiver before being converted to a corner. In 22, 14 games, 58 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 1 interception, and 7 passes deflected. In 23, 15 games, 44 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 6 interceptions, 2 of them for TD, 6 passes deflected, 2 forced fumbles, and 81.4 PFF grade. Now, obviously, Michigan didn't exactly have a cakewalk schedule here, too. That's one of the things I really do like looking at, is especially with corners, because out of all of the positions on the field there, corner and wide receiver are one of those spots that you really do have kind of a one-on-one experience a whole lot more than others, you know, especially if you happen to be a man corner or going into man coverage at all during the game. You get that one-on-one kind of thing. Here's a guy. We finally have one, too. Understands he started 3 spots at the slot there, only 151 on the outside. So he is a primary slot corner. He's instinctive. He's good at interceptions. Good at, you know, just keeping close. Again, I know that sounds cliche, but if you look wherever the guy is going to be that he's got, he's not going to do it. He just doesn't have that abilities. But if you need a really good corner in the slot who can cover really well, go ahead and play man or zone. He does have more zone experience, but he can play either one. And you're okay with the size issue, which you got to be pretty much if you're drafting your corner this year, it seems. He's a day 2 guy all day long.
Pretty much.
And again, another guy who's going to be very good. I think this is going to be the year where, remember, as far as the mid rounds of a lot of decent slot corners coming out. I think this is going to be that kind of year. So, again, Giant fans, we need a cornerback too really badly, potentially, depending on what you think of Mick McCloud. But how many years have we needed a slot corner? How many years it seems like we keep talking about? If he only had a slot corner, Bernie Holmes.
If he only had a slot corner.
Yes. All right. Before we get into the top seven here, let's pay the bills real quick, guys, and get through some of these comments here. Oh, yes. Ooh, indeed.
Enjoying the show. Looking for more goofball action? Consider a membership at buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofballs. Membership start at just $5 and give you additional goofball access. One-time support payments also available starting at just $3. buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofball.
All right, start off with Christopher. Tony says, hey guys, something seemed off with DJ in his interview. Shane seemed to have the right plan going with the defense. Any of the top four CBs in the draft we've got to hit on. You know, I've seen a couple of comments today. I got to say, I was a little more shocked by how many comments coming off the DJ interview that was given today. It wasn't something we necessarily planned on talking about. So, but I think that DJ is being scripted point blank. I think something he knows that I think that he's not going to really see the field this year. I really, and listen, I could be 100% off, but I feel like you have to kind of come out of left field what you think is actually going on in Shane's head. He never gives it out. He doesn't tell people what he's actually thinking. And that's fine. He's not supposed to. I don't want him doing that. All this talk about Jones is ready, Jones to be our guy, I think it's all bull. I think Jones is sitting all year long. We're going to make sure he doesn't get hurt. So we don't have to pay him all the medical money he gets to pay next year at that point. Or save $20 million in the cap next year by him staying healthy. Then we don't have to pay him like $20 million instead of $40 next year. And I think it's going to be a wash year for Jones. Get healthy, get right, move on, and go on to the next team next year. I really think that's what it is. And I think he knows that. I think the Giants respect him enough to tell him. I think that's a total respect thing that he's earned from ownership, from the coaches, from the GM, is everybody. So I think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to see him sitting all year long, not playing, completely opposite of what they're talking about right now. And that's why he seems a little off, because he knows what he's saying is bullshit. He knows it. As far as Shane seeming to having the right plan going with defense, listen, until I see it in the field, I don't know. I'm going to keep my opinion on Shane until I see it in the field, because the biggest thing for me on a defensive coordinator is the decisions he makes in the very intricate and, you know, integral part of the games. You know, when it's 3rd and 10, what is he doing? You know, is he gonna go for a big splash play? Is he gonna go for, you know, just get off the field? I want to see what kind of decisions he makes overall before I give any kind
blitz,
of opinion
blitz,
on him.
Blitz, more blitz.
Because that was Wink. You knew what you're getting with Wink, because we all knew we're getting with Wink. I feel like with Shane, we don't know, because Vrabel was up his tuchus the whole entire time he was doing calling the defense. So we got to see what he's going to do. Like I said, I'm going to withhold any opinion on him probably at least halfway through the year. At least that, because even first couple of games could start off 100% rough. Yeah. Everybody's running a new scheme. Don't forget, guys, the year we won the Super Bowl, I shouldn't say that year, we won it four times. The third Super Bowl we won, the first Eli won, we started off 0-2 with the defense like crap. And the defense was the star of our team.
And there was talks about how we should have, you know, kick Coughlin out to New York with the pitchfork.
And Spagnuolo was considered the worst defensive coordinator hire ever. So, again, we got a little patience, got to have a wait to see what happens as far as him. As far as any of the top four CBs in the draft we've got to hit on, I don't think we're going to get one of the top four. I really don't. If we get a corner, it'll be either round two, because somebody happened to fall to us and we don't have either a top wide receiver or quarterback available. What if we get in the first round? And we just say, okay, we have to maneuver to something else here. Here's a guy who fell in our lap. Or we're probably going like the third, fourth round and get a corner if we do.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think that's more it. I really do. In the end, I love the corner position. It's an important position on the field, but it's nowhere near as important as quarterback, and that's what this all boils down to. Yeah, this is a league where you either got a quarterback or you don't. And guess what, guys? We in the don't category. And when you're in the don't category, you don't win a lot of games. You don't go to the Super Bowl. You don't hang banners.
Correct.
I don't want to don't those things. Creating my own language here. I don't want to don't.
I do all the don'ts when I don't want to don'ts.
Deb says, you're right, Christopher. Different sites like Sports Illustrated talking about it. Really weird. And I'm assuming that's the offness with DJ. Like I said, I really think that's what it is. I don't think it comes natural to him to lie. Listen, as much as we bash DJ as far as a quarterback, and we try not to really bash him, because it is what it is. It's just not working out. You know, we don't have to always go with the jerk mentality about it. It just sometimes just us things don't work out in life, and that's what this is. I feel like he is such a nice guy. I really do. I really think very highly of him as a person. And I think there's a level of comfort issue with him because he knows what the plan is and he's saying something completely different. I think that's what it is. I really do. Christopher Tony says, I have a 70-30 rating on the Giants hitting on whatever draft prospect they select this year. Which direction? 70% positive or 30% positive? I'm really hoping it's 70% positive, because let's be honest, you could love any prospect and they could fall flat on their face in the NFL. That's the beauty of this draft stuff. We all have our opinion. And listen, I've gotten to a few discussions in the last couple of weeks with people that disagree with some of the opinions I've said on here and that we've said on here. But what it boils down to is we're all making what we feel are the best educated guesses with the information we have.
Yeah, there's only so much you can see without actually seeing the talent go to the next level.
Yeah.
It's a gamble.
If the pros were all right, Brock Purdy would be out of the league and Ryan Leaf be a Hall of Famer. That's the honest truth of it. So, Chris says, talk to Deb, says, I seem extremely wide, like a deer staring at headlights. Medicine he's on, or I mean, he's definitely going to be on medicine. I can't imagine he didn't. Bill Hartnett, it's funny. I saw Bill at the Giants Rush podcast that was on YouTube as well. They're talking about moving from podcast to podcast and live here. So, appreciate you to go into us next at that point. What's your third or fourth stop, I think, here for the evening? He said speakers just exploded. Got to turn them down a little bit, man. Chris Petoni says, why are all these CBs are so small, barely any 6 foot tall Cs? Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of them. I'll tell you this, though. We do have, I'm trying to look for you real quick to verify, every single person we're going to talk about the next second half here is at least six foot tall, and one of them is over 200 pounds. So you're not going to see any major, you know, big corners really out of these top guys either, but you're going to see a little better at that point. One gets really, really close, actually. One's only 4 pounds away from being 200 pounds. So actually two of them are. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4. Four of the seven are over 190 pounds. So they're bigger, at least. They're getting their size a little bit. Chris also says, don't want no QBs in the first round. Take Milton, Rattler, or Pratt third, fourth. Milton up, I'll be satisfied with. We're going to talk about those guys Thursday. So that's going to be a show you're going to like there. We're going to talk about Rattler. We're going to talk about Pratt. We're talking about I think we have like six quarterbacks we're going to go over. So what we did basically is I went through all the top 10 quarterbacks that every single one of the experts, with quotation marks, experts, claim is a top 10. And if they weren't one of the six that we already talked about, we added them in. We've got the QB from BYU. I think like one guy mentioned him as a top 10. I think he was number 10 even at that point. Like I said, we're going to add whoever at that point there to see what we got there out of the rest of this class too. This could be one of those drafts where one of these guys in the third, fourth round hits. It does happen. Ask Kirk Cousins. Fourth round guy. He's a hit, right? Russell Wilson, third round guy. He's a hit, right? It's not always first round. It usually is first round. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that guy who says, oh, you can just get a quarterback wherever. No, it's usually not.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy's out there. So I'm saying it's not many Brock Purdy's out there. So let's see. Connor says, ruh-roh, DJ's addicted to drugs. He says, no issue with neck. Guess we'll know why he's high. AF, LOL. If not, and no issues with neck, cool. Maybe he'll shock us and play great. You never know, Drew. LOL. Guess what? I do know. He's not going to play great. At best, he may play average. It's what he is. We need to stop kidding ourselves and hope we have a quarterback. He's done. Connor says, shows saying we getting JJ McCarthy. Maybe he should play for McCarthy in Dallas. LOL. I say we get Alt. I know we got our left tackle, but good on either end. Both of them would. We need great O-line. I think you're going to see if you notice, we did a lot of work on the offensive line of free agency, and I think that's where it's going to come from. We might get a guard, if anything, in the mid rounds, or get a late round tackle to perhaps be a swing tackle for us eventually. But I think we're, for the most part, done on the offensive line. And you know my thoughts on McCarthy. I'm hoping not McCarthy. I think McCarthy, especially at six, would be such a freaking stretch. It's not even funny. He's not that good in my eyes. Again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If he was that good, Harbaugh would not have stunted his growth by not letting him throw the ball very often. When you're a great quarterback, your best move is not handing the ball off to Blake Corum.
Yeah.
That's just not. It's just not. There's no way around it. Like, can you imagine any of the really great quarterbacks ever that play in college and their best move was throwing, was, you know, handing the ball off to their running back? You know, look at Matt Leinart. Let's give that as a classic example. Matt Leinart played with Reggie Bush, one of the greatest running back college careers that we've seen in the last couple decades. I think that's safe to say with Reggie Bush, correct?
Correct.
So did Matt Leinart throw the ball for 150 yards, 120 yards, a lot of games? No. He also got a Heisman because he played better because he played with a great running back. He didn't play less. Like, the whole notion that this guy is all of a sudden amazing, is I just don't get where this is coming from. I really don't. Watch us get him, and I would be so pissed off.
Yeah. Watch, he's fantastic. Becomes best friends with DJ.
Listen, if we get him, you know me. I will root for whoever we get. Like, even right now, I'll root for DJ if he plays, because he's our quarterback. That's what this all boils down to. Whoever our quarterback is, I will root great things for. That's what I want. I want success for the New York Football Giants, regardless of how it comes. I don't need to prove myself right. I'm right in the things that I'm okay with it. I could be wrong. So then it kind of says that, or we move up, get Harrison Jr., or wait, get Neighbors. If everyone gets QBs, Knight falls in our lap. Yeah, I mean, again, six guys, three quarterbacks, three wide receivers that are the top six players basically on most people's boards. So we're bound to get one. We might, who knows? Chargers might take Jawalt. You know, Cardinals might trade with the Vikings and get and give up to get JJ McCarthy at that point. So we may very well end up with our pick of whatever receiver we want. And if that happens,
yes,
excellent. I'll go Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Neighbors, Rome Odunze in that order as far as my guys.
Yeah.
So, see, Deb says, I like one of the top three receivers at number six. Yeah. I think that's where we're probably going to go, to be honest. And I still think we're going to trade back up if we can into the end of the first round to get a quarterback. I do think that from everything you're hearing right now, the Giants are looking at both options, trade up, trade down, trade up, trade down, and see what they can do. Because I think they also realize that, let's say they move up and move back with a team like the Jets at number 10. Number 10, they may still get Rome Odunze, depending on how the chips lie. And let's say, hypothetically, the Jets want to move up because they want Brock Bowers. They want one of the top tackles. You know, they could do that now. I'm just saying the Jets is an example. I'm not suggesting, you know, that's our perfect partner. Our perfect partner for the trade is whoever gives us the most while moving us down the least. But like I said, things like that are possible as well. Especially because that gives us the ammo to trade back up into the first round to get a quarterback. You know, and you do keep hearing rumblings of that being the plan. So I do think that's what their hope is, depending on how early guys like Nixon Penix go there. So we'll see. Connor says, I think Connor's been doing some drinking here before this. He says, so is Adoree going to be here this year? Are we signing him? No. Not unless we completely fail to get a corner and he comes cheap enough that, okay, we'll give him one more year. I don't think it's happening, personally.
I don't think so.
I really don't. I don't think it's personality conflicts. I really don't. I think they see the writing on the wall that he's starting to slow down, that his speed is starting to go away. And once you do that, if you are a guy who depends on that speed, you're in trouble. Point blank. That's why I will always defer to the guys who are football IQ, technique-driven kind of guys, because those guys typically have longer careers than the guys who plan on, you know, using pure athleticism, because that'll go quicker. That can lead from injuries even. Ask OBJ, you know, that stuff does go away. Football IQ doesn't go away. Instincts don't go away. Let's see. Connor says, I'd like receiver two, Deb, but Daniel or whoever needs O-line no matter what. Maybe coach can fix Drew. Not you, Drew. Drew Lock. No hope for you, Drew. LOL. I don't think Drew Lock's the answer. I think Drew Lock's not a bad backup quarterback. I don't think he's the answer. I think what you're going to see probably as far as the line is the coach. You're talking about the coach can fix Drew Lock. I think what they're hoping is that the coach, meaning Brasillo, the new offensive line coach, can fix Evan Neal, Josh Azudu, Marcus McKeithen, you know, John Michael Schmitz, all these, you know, different rookie deal guys we still have, while also trying to help some of the issues John Runyon has, and then trying to just fill out in general where Jermaine and Luminor needs to go to be the best spot to help out the offensive line. You know, this a lot. That's the coach that really has his work cut out for him. He's got to go ahead and fix stuff, you know? Let's see here. Connor says, you're okay with the size issue. She says, oh, yeah, me like it big. Oh, there's a Connor comment for you. He also says, really don't like thought if Jaden in Washington, even Drake May, shake my head. I'm listen, there's not a single guys that I'm worried about in this draft overall. Nobody is a sure thing in any draft. You want to talk about worried? Let's talk about Washington worried. Who was worried about RG3 after his rookie year? Well, how'd that work out? You can't revolve.
He also never fully recovered, I think, from that.
Oh, I know that. But what I'm saying is, we all were going, oh my God, Washington finally got a quarterback.
They thought so too, man. They put his statue outside his rookie year.
Yeah.
Outside FedEx Fields.
So I'm just saying, there's no player, one particular player that worries me. There really isn't. What worries me if they built a team around one of these guys and they're really good. That would worry me. You know, but again, all you can do is do what you can do within your own walls. And the Giants have to get a quarterback. The Giants have to shore up some positions to this point. The Giants have to start building around whatever quarterback it is they get and hope that he's the guy. Or if he's not the guy, don't do the same mistake we did with Daniel Jones. Realize it. Move on and call it a day. Yeah.
Correct.
Bill says it was the player interest that blew them up, the speakers. He says, you guys are all good. he says, Brady was sixth and Purdy was Mr. Relevant. Exactly. Like, you do get them. And that's why I'm saying, when you need a quarterback, if you can't get the top quarterback that you love, I think, in my mind, you should be drafting at least a mid-round guy every year. At least. Because you need that position. If you can't fill that position, you got to at least take shots. Because sometimes you're in that purgatory where you're not quite bad enough to get a top quarterback and you're not quite good enough to make an average quarterback look great. That's where we're at. We're in that purgatory. So if we can't get a quarterback in the first two rounds, let's get one of these mid-round guys. And then guess what we do next year? We get one of those mid-round guys again. What we got to do? Keep on going until you get one. Eventually you're going to hit. You know? It's like gambling. The more times you play, the more chance you have to win. When you're in a roulette, you want to throw all your chips down. Or lose it all. That's fine. Listen, I have no problem going down with the ship and losing it all if that happens. No issues whatsoever, because at least you tried. You just keep carting out Daniel Jones and trying to tell us how it's our fault. He sucks. Just saying.
Right?
Yeah. Guys, this is just year 30 of Daniel Jones. I'm telling you right now.
Next year is his year.
Yes. If we just get the proper floating left tackle, it's a new position I made up for the future of the NFL, floating left tackle. Becomes a 3D game at this point.
I was about to say, multiple levels.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Multiple levels at that point. It's like 3D chess and Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
You never know what technology and anti-gravity boots eventually becoming into play in the NFL. Never know. All right. See, John S. Anderson says, it would suck if Harrison Jr. goes to Arizona or elsewhere. I think he's worth moving up for. You know what? I'll never tell you no player is worth moving up for, but I'll never tell you any player is worth moving up for, because what it boils down to is, what does the team want? Because that's what determines to me if it's worth moving up and moving down. If Arizona says to you, you know, hey, do you want to move down from 6 to 4? You got to give us next year's first round pick. No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Now if they say, hey, want to move up from 6 to 4? Just give us your third round pick. Now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah,
and whether or not I do that depends on what I think of, you know, Odunze and Neighbors, obviously. But yeah, again, it all depends on what they want. And then he says, we can get Brady for a year. Oh, well, yeah, we could. Yes, that's the, clearly the fix to this team.
You've been drinking with Connor.
Yeah, that's the future of the franchise. He also says, you've got no problem going down. Roberto, don't get too close to Drew. All right, let's go back to the topic at hand. We're an hour in, guys. We're already halfway through. It's becoming one of those episodes. We're going to be here for 4 hours, guys. We got number seven here. Number seven, Enos Rick Straw. And just for the, I just said Enos. I didn't say something else, John and you guys. I know it's, I know where your minds go right to. All righty. So 6 foot even, 188 pounds, 21 years old. Again, playing in Missouri. 22, 13 games, 35 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, 1 interception, which was the only interception in his entire NFL career. So again, if you are a guy who wants interceptions, college this career. Is not the guy for you. 12 passes deflected. That's a pretty high number, though. One fumble recovery, 2 forced fumbles. This past season, 9 games, 35 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, 4 passes deflected, 1 fumble recovery, and an 80.7 PFF grade. That's a pretty decent PFF grade there. You got to worry about some injuries with him. This is why he is lower on this list here. He would probably be top five if it wasn't for the injuries. Tore his ACL in 21, had a groin injury and a core muscle injury in this past season here. So he's missed some time here, and he's missed some time recent, but that's 3 injuries now in 3 seasons. So
this is a Giants prospect.
Well, he did tear an ACL, so yes, possibly. Now, am I going to sit there and say he's off my board because he has some injuries? No. But I'm going to sure as hell take a long look at the medical if I'm the Giants or any NFL team interested in Rick Straw. He is a guy who also might be a slot guy, because he's got some experience there. 104 snaps at the slot, 337 at the outside. Pros and cons-wise, high football IQ. He's got that good twitch. He's got that ability to shake and make a movement real quick there when he needs to. Very aggressive, good length, which is weird for a guy who's only 6 foot, 188, but he's got a lot longer arms than you expect for someone his size. Cons-wise, not great long speed. Doesn't track the ball great. And weak strength, which is one thing you do expect if a guy is 188 pounds. Good in man or zone. Best in man, especially press man, which is one thing you don't think you'd see a guy his size. He does do a good first pop at that point there. Probably a round two guy. And again, excelled in the SEC. So, yeah, you're going to take a look at a guy like that. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get the Kool-Aid later on. We haven't got the Kool-Aid yet. Kool-Aid comes later on. I know when the Kool-Aid comes, you're going to be doing that.
Oh, yeah.
That was more Slim Jim, just in the record there.
It was a little bit of Macho Man in there. Not enough Kool-Aid.
Macho Man. All right. Next up is probably to be the most controversial name in this entire group here, because he's been deemed a lot of things. He's been deemed a great corner prospect. He's been deemed potentially the first starting Caucasian corner in the NFL since Jason Sehorn, which I believe is legit, because that was a meme going around for a while that Jason Sehorn was the last one. He's also been deemed a guy that has to go into a safety position. There's a lot of people that are very mixed on him, but they all do agree on one thing. He's going to be a good talent in this league. It's just a matter of where he goes, and that is Cooper DeJean from Iowa. Now, I usually don't post a kick return for a corner as their video, but I saw that and I wanted to show some ability off there. I think if you guys saw that, you saw a guy who was fast, had a little bit of twitch when need be, able to move around a little bit there, you know, things that you kind of need for corner. But again, there's that talk, so we're going to find out. 6'1", 207 pounds, 21 years old. In 22, 13 games, 75 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 5 interceptions, 3 of which were touchdowns, guys. Eight passes deflected. This past year, 10 games, 41 tackles, 2 interceptions, 5 passes deflected, and a 77.4 PFF. Now, played 23 in the slot and 630 at the corner, outside corner position there. So this is a guy that if he plays corner, is going to play on the outside. Pros and cons wise, he's athletic, instinctive, tracks the ball well, great in run defense. Now, that sounds like a very good pro to have as a corner, because not a lot of guys have that ability. That's one of the biggest things I keep hearing about why he needs to be a safety, is the scary thing, is that they're saying his best trait as a guy in the secondary is his ability to move up and help the run. And when you have that, you don't want to use that. You use it more at safety than you do at corner. That's one of the issues. It's not his speed as much as that. It's not his, you know, his movement. It's not anything as far as that. They think that because he's so good at the run, you want to utilize that position more. As far as his cons, hard sticking to twitchy receivers. When he gets those guys that have an extreme elite athleticism at that point, he does have a little bit of trouble staying with them there. He also is a little overly aggressive when going downhill at times. So, listen, I have a hard time figuring out where to put him myself, to be very frank with you. And I think that he's a guy that you're probably going to move back and forth.
Yeah.
Versatile. I think depending on the play is where you're going to put him. You could put him, especially when you go to goal line, you know, third and short and those kind of positions, you can put him in a guy that you put on a tight end, hypothetically, like a safety, that you have him run up and help against the run at that point if there's a handoff. And he will not be out of place whatsoever. But you can also have him be a guy who sits there, like we talked about earlier, being that, you know, zone or man kind of corner, but one that has some help behind him in case he gets that overly athletic guy with the twitchiness, the long bursts at that point, the stuff he would not be able to deal with. Because there's a lot of guys in the league who can't deal with that stuff, guys. This is not an issue with just a couple of players in the draft right now. This is not a new issue. The NFL has figured out ways of working around these issues over the years. Like I said, that's what I think personally for him. I think he's going to be a guy you'll see probably flip-flop between both positions, especially his rookie year, as they try to figure out which spot is better for him. And potentially, he tries to just figure out where he can make it as a starter in general. Because I do think that where he's drafted will determine where his career trajectory goes. I think he will excel at either spot, though, personally. I think he just, if you put him at corner, you just got to deal with the limitations at that point there. But either spot, I think he'll be pretty good to go. I think late first, early second, he'll probably go in personally, too. And weirdly enough, he might be the first safety off the board. He's a corner. Depending on how they draft him, I'm kind of curious when they come up to the podium and say Cooper DeJean, do they say safety or do they say corner? That's going to be interesting, because if you look even on some mock draft boards, they have him at corner. But you go to like PFN, they have him as a safety. So there's definitely some argument. All righty. Number five, Kamari Lassen out of Georgia. Alrighty, so 6 foot even, 180 pounds, 21 years old. One interception as a freshman, never saw interception again in college. Again, if that's an issue for you, know that upfront. In 22, 15 games, 38 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, half a sack, 4 passes deflected. This past season, 14 games, 37 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss. Another half a sack. He completed a second half of that first sack there, I guess, the second year.
Ooh.
And 8 passes deflected there with an 85.4 PFF grade, which is pretty damn high in the SEC. And you're talking, again, Georgia, just known for having a tough schedule year in, year out. 48 spots at the slot position there, 596 in the outside corner. Pros and cons wise, very good in the run support, mirrors well, and good tackler. As far as the cons, gambles at times. You know, you don't know when to hold them, know when to fold them. But watches the QB too much, which is one thing you don't see very often in that position there. Like, we talk about how you want to kind of have your hand at the hip always, turn around and see what the quarterback is doing. He is so dependent on that the way he plays at that point. He's definitely been prone to fakes. He's definitely been prone to kind of, and I wouldn't say taking a play off, but seeing the quarterback look at the other side of the field and thinking it's not going towards him, and then all of a sudden it does. He's also got to work on his jam. His jam is not the best at that point there. But he's been good in both zone and man. I think he's going to be a late first-round pick. And listen, overall, like I said, we got a 5 or 6 players in the first round at the cornerback position. This is going to be that kind of draft for the corner position here. But Lassiter, again, played at a big school, had an issue at a big school, and just, like I said, been excellent for the last couple of years there. As long as you can get past the lack of interception. If that's not a big deal to you, great player. Pop it on him to, you know, see what he's got there. And you know me always, I don't care as much as the interceptions personally. I just want you to not let the other guy catch the ball. Call me crazy. That's your goal. Correct. Because the guys who typically get a lot of interceptions do also tend to also give up a lot of big plays. Forget that.
Everyone looks at the flashy highlight reel of that awesome interception, but you also didn't realize that he gave up 70 yards to that guy he's been covering in the first half.
Exactly. I want the guy not on the highlight reel. Call me crazy.
Pretty much.
All right. Number four. Here's where you get to do it, Rob. There you go. You get to do your
impression. Oh, yeah.
Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. Look, we got over 6 foot again. 6 foot one.
Yay.
195 pounds, just 21 years old. And 22, 13 games, 35 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 1 interception, 15 passes deflected. This past season, 14 games, 32 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 7 passes deflected, and an 88.8 PFF grade. 66 plays in the slot position, 769 on the outside corner spot there. Pros and cons wise, moves well, physical, great in press, instinctive. His cons, it's basically just the light weight and weakness there. He's a bad tackler overall, and he's got some issues in the pop and light weight. Like, again, you put him against a bigger, you know, receiver like a DK Metcalf, like we joked around about before, he's going to have issues because he's 195 pounds. But he's a Velcro guy, and he, like I said, he did very well in Alabama. You know, never really embarrassed himself. This is a guy that I would have no qualms at all about drafting middle of the first round. Like, this was last year, and then, like, you know, obviously we knew the Giants were going to probably take a wide receiver or a corner last year. That was pretty much well known from the get-go. I would have no problem if they took him mid-first round last year. If it wasn't for the fact we need a cornerback and a number one receiver, I'd have no problem with us taking him mid-round this year. He's going to be a good player. He's going to be a solid player. And he's not that crazy flashy guy. He's just that solid, good corner. I'll take it. I will take it.
All day long.
All night long.
All night.
Next up, we have Nate Wiggins, not to be confused with one of the Wiggles, Nate Wiggins from Clemson. All righty, 6 foot two. Look at that. We got some height. We got some height, but just 185 pounds.
We lost some weight.
He's lost some weight. We got some height. Taking from column A, give it to column B. I'm 20 years old, 22, 13 games, 29 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 interception, which was for a touchdown, 13 passes deflected. This past year, 10 games, 29 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and a sack, 2 interceptions, again, 1 for a touchdown. It's 2 years in a row. 6 passes deflected and 2 fumbles forced there. 82.5 PFF grade there. Again, the guy going to be outside pretty much primarily there. Didn't really pay much in the slot at all. Only 14 snaps there, 431 on the outside. Pros and cons wise, good speed, good size, good in press. Cons wise,
good wiggles.
Tackling. Who would have thought? 6 foot two, 185 pounds, having issues tackling. And we talked about it before with the guys who take risks. This is that guy who takes risks. You can love it, you can hate it, because you know what? Sometimes it's going to win you a game, and sometimes it's going to cost you a game. And you kind of have to just know that going into it. I put that in the con category. But yeah, I can see somebody else putting a big game, explosive guy who makes big plays, you know, like, and try to put it as a pro thing. It all depends on your personal preference of what you like out of a corner. Again, me, I don't care anything beyond keep the damn ball out of the receiver's hands. I'm old school like that. That's all I care about. That is your job. Your job is not to catch the ball, not an offense. Now, if you happen to be able to shut down and get interceptions, great. I'm not going to complain, but I am going to complain when you give up the big play because you're going for the interception and you missed. That's one thing I don't like to see. So, like I said, Wiggins is going to have a little bit of that. You have to kind of know that going into that. He's going to be a first-round pick as well. I don't know where in the first round he's going to go, but it depends on what you like. It really does. This is kind of that time period. So, yeah, you're going to see him probably, like I said, somewhere in the first round. It just depends on who likes him the most, when they need a corner. So, all righty. Almost done with these guys. We've got two more to go. Two more. Next up, Terry and Arnold out of Alabama again. Roll Tide. All righty. So 6 foot even, 196 pounds. Oh, so close to 200 pounds. 21 years old in 22. 11 games, 45 tackles, one tackle for loss, one interception, eight passes deflected, and a fumble recovery. This past season, 14 games, 63 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, one sack, five interceptions, 12 passes deflected, and a fumble forced, 88.4 PFF grade overall. Did 205 spots at the slot position there. So this is a guy that gives you that kind of real versatility at that point. On the outside, 557 snaps at the outside corner there. Pros and cons wise, fluid movement, versatile, explosive. You know, there's a lot to like in the way when you look at the way this kid plays here. As far as the cons, concedes inside routes in man. That is one thing you do see consistently. Like if you have somebody, I don't want to use OBJ specifically, but I guess I'm going to use OBJ. OBJ was a great slot player. A great slant player. He was a guy who had that just for some reason he would go into slant routes left and right and just catch him every time and just go upfield and turn it for 30 yards. That's the kind of plays you worry about this guy giving up. And when it's one specific route you have issues with, that scares me a lot less than a lot of other things that we're talking about here today with some of these guys. That's nitpicking. Because you know what? Everybody has an issue with something. Nobody's perfect. Except for me. I'm also the most modest. But, you know, if that's the issue, there's two options you have here. Work with him and get it fixed. Obviously, that's the easy one. Or, call me crazy, but scheme around it. You know? Have a guy that's towards the middle at that point there that can stick and, you know, be that big guy for these guys to run into if they happen to win off that. Because everything else, he does freaking amazing. You know, this is one of those guys that I watched him on tape and I'm trying to, like, give you a couple pros, but I'm trying not to, like, fill up a paragraph. He's a really good corner cover, you know. Corner cover. What am I doing? Corner cover. But again, he's good in zone, good in man. I do think he's a little better in zone, especially with the issues we talked about there. Because if you can pop him in his zone coverage and just he knows that if somebody gets the inside route, they're going to cover him instead of him. Again, you're getting rid of the flaw he has. Again, another first round guy and a guy that I think will be a decent starter in this league for many years to come. All righty. Next up, number one, Uno, the big one, the one that I don't think most people would ever have thought he'd end up our top corner in this entire NFL draft here. But he's there, and he's there because not only was he a great player in college, but he's there partially because of how well he did at the Senior Bowl. When he had the chance to face competition that was much more than what he usually faced on a regular basis week in, week out playing at Toledo. He crushed the competition. There wasn't a single receiver at the Senior Bowl who could hang with this guy. Quinion Mitchell, Toledo, our CB number one. All right, 6 foot even. Hey, another 6 footer. 196. So almost 200 pounds again. 22 years old. In 22, the 14 games, 41 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 5 interceptions, 2 of which for touchdowns, 19 passes deflected. Woo! 23, 13 games, 41 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 interception, 18 passes deflected, and a 91.5 PFF grade. What have I always said about guys from small schools? I am okay with you being coming from a small school, but you better whoop their ass. You better show that I don't belong here. I'm better than all you mother freaking. That's what I want to see. And that's what he did. Point blank. That's what Mitchell did his entire time with Toledo. And then he goes to the Senior Bowl. He goes to these you know, all-star games. And he freaking crushes it and proves he deserves to hang with the best of the best of the best, sir.
Sir.
And that's what he's going to do in the NFL. This is going to be a really good player. Like, you want to talk about, out of all the defensive players in this draft, before I say it, I'm going to think in my head real quick. Yes, I'm going to go with it. He's my number one prospect on the entire defensive side of the ball. I like him that much. I think he'll be that good. Does play in the slot a little bit as well. 55 snaps there, 677 on the outside. Pros and cons wise. Pros, size, very fluid, physical, instinctive. And I put all of the pass deflection. You got to put that in the pro category there, obviously, at that point.
Yes, you're talking, he gets them all. Okay,
37 pass deflections in the last 2 years, 27 games, guys. That's pretty goddamn impressive. The cons. I only got two cons, really. The first one is there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve because he came from a small school. That's to be expected. If anybody comes to small school, I'm sorry. Another thing, he's just not an aggressive tackler. And you see that sometimes from corners. I don't know that you can teach out of that. I think you just have to deal with that. Everybody has a con. Because once he, you know, gets that past that learning curve, if the only issue you have is, I wish he was more aggressive a tackler, you got yourself a hell of a player.
Shucks. Yeah.
You got yourself one hell of a player.
Well, if he does his job and never has to tackle someone because he's always deflecting the ball,
yeah,
you'd be all right.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if he learns to get some of his catches. We got five interceptions in 22. That's pretty good, but just one last year. He's played strictly zone coverage in college. He has been training doing man coverage ever since the season ended. I know they showcased some of that also at the Senior Bowl. But I think if you put him in a pure man scheme, there's going to be even more of a learning curve, and I think that's a mistake to put him in there. I think you put him in a zone man coverage combo, or you put him in a defense that does strictly zone, and he's going to excel.
Yeah.
I just hope that, like I said, whoever does a strictly man coverage, they don't try to put that square peg in a round hole. It's not meant to go there. Much like you might have been told on your wedding night, it's not meant to go there.
It was all holds barred.
All right. Let's get into the news here, because we got some news to go over. Let's see here. I don't know what's going on, John, but I see John cursing like crazy here. Just left it there. Let's get first into the Giants news. We did sign a player, guys. We got a new Giant. It's a new one.
It's time for the news.
All righty. Giants signed linebacker Matthew Adams, formerly of the Browns last year. Was originally a seventh-round pick back in 2018. Like, honestly, guys, not a lot to talk about with this guy. I'm not going to talk about this kid as if he's going to be, like, you know, the next starting, you know, linebacker for the Giants. He's not. What he basically is, he's the new Cam. He's the new special teamer. That's what he is.
Yeah.
Overall, he had a PFF grade of 44.2 last year, but he had a strong suit. He had a 73.7 pass rush grade from PFF. He had an 86.8 special teams grade, which is 24th best in the entire league. This is a guy who's going to be a special teamer that you're going to pop out occasionally in pass rushing plays when you really want to get a little extra oomph out there. Because he will provide a little oomph. But if you put him out there on a regular basis, or he has to start, we're going to be in trouble, guys. We're going to be in like a lot of trouble, guys. That's all. I'll leave it at that. I don't want to disrespect the man. He does things well. Special teams has done well. That's something that not everybody can do. He does. So let's get into the news around the league there, because we do have some news around the league here, guys. So here we go. Yes, the boom. Oh, yes. So a couple of things for the NFL news. First off, the Bucks, where I always love to talk about draft rumors and all kinds of trades here. The Bucks are rumored to be looking to move up from pick 26. So one thing to keep an eye on, looking for draft day trades and all. That's one team that's probably moving up. And they want to move up, for all intents and purposes, from what I'm hearing, a pass rusher. So they're looking to move up to like more of the mid-first round at that point to get one of the better ones there. Eagles, we talked about it before, that one of our divisional rivals went ahead and signed someone. The Eagles and Devonta Smith have agreed to a 3-year, $75 million extension. Now, keep in mind, he's on year 4 of his contract. They picked up year 5 already for him, so that's already been done. So this is now 6, 7, and 8. He's now signed for the next 8 years, guys. And I'll say that I think 3 years, $75 million sounds absolutely goddamn ridiculous for him when you first look at it, okay? You know, again, he's a guy who has done 1,000 yards. He's a guy who's looked good for, you know, his especially the last 2 seasons since they got A.J. Brown. But he's been a number 2 receiver. He's been doing this against the guys who are, not the, you know, all-time greatest, you know, corners on these teams. They're going after A.J. Brown. That's who they're trying to stop. That's their main goal. But I do remind people he had over 900 yards receiving his rookie season when he was the guy. So I do think he is a legit receiver. I do. And I think if you look at the numbers, again, we're talking he's going to be signed for 5 more years based on how things are going. He's cheap this year. He's cheap next year. I guarantee you by the time it comes around, so let's see, we're talking this year, next year, so you're talking 2026, that offseason, I guarantee you $25 million a year for him is going to look like a steal.
100%.
It's 2 years down the road. 2 years ago, if you had told me you're going to sign somebody for $25 million as a wide receiver, I would say you're absolutely goddamn crazy. But that's before guys that's like Christian Kirk got $20 million a year. You know, now you got Tyreek Hill making 30, Davante Adams 28, Cooper Kupp 26.
Sign him now before the average is 30. Drew, you on mute over there? You on mute? Can't hear you.
Hold on. Nope. You get me now?
Yep.
You got me?
Gotcha.
You got me?
There we go.
There we go. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. But again, if you put him in the category of who's being paid $25 million a year in like 2-3 years, I guarantee you he's going to fit very well and right in with those guys. So can't hate on it because they gained team control of the guy for some years there, as much as I want to hate on it. But I do think they did just sign another guy to a big contract when they're already pushing money down the line like crazy. So I do wonder what's going to happen in a couple years to this team still. And when I say wonder, I mean I hope horrible things.
Keep on kicking, keep on kicking.
I mean, it's just that's what they do. Kick the can, kick the can, kick the can, kick the can. It's eventually got to fall flat in your face at that point. Look at the Saints are dealing with right now. The Saints have been dealing with this the last couple of years. They lost Drew Brees, and they're a mediocre team now. They can't sign anybody. That's what they've been for the last couple of years. And they keep trying to get out of that mediocrity by signing more players, which just keep kicking the can down. It's bad. It's just bad.
It's the circle of finances, and it drains us all.
Don't even get started on finances as it's tax day today. The Patriots
have tax day.
Recently had visits with J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. And it begs the thought of if you're taking a quarterback at pick 3, why are you talking to those guys? Just saying, begs the question. I mean, is this due diligence? Or are we crazy to think they might trade down?
I mean, I would say that last week, 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't be surprised if they trade down. And get as many picks in this draft and next year.
I mean, especially like J.J. McCarthy, you can say, okay, there's teams like the Vikings rumored to be talking about getting him at pick 4. So, okay, that's not that crazy. But Penix, as much as we all know, I love Michael Penix Jr. I'm a big proponent of him. There's no way in hell I'm drafting him that early. Mm. I'd trade down and draft him mid-first round or higher. But you're taking him that early? Woo. So, again, just I like to look at things and go, what does this mean? What could this mean? What's the possibilities here? Here's some possibility. They might not go ahead and get him with pick 3. They might trade back. That's been the rumor. And again, keep in mind the weird position they're in. There's 3 quarterbacks in this draft that are considered top tier. They're not getting the sloppy seconds. They're getting the leftover thirds. So if whatever one of those 3 is left they don't like, someone's going to like them. And I think that's why all the rumors really started about them as far as a trade down, because someone is going to like whoever they don't like. And let's say Drake May's the guy who's left, because that's who I think will be left. And let's say they don't like him. If they don't like him, but they can get a couple of... All righty, guys. I don't know why I'm having some internet issues here tonight. I apologize about that, guys. But that calls it a night here for us here. We'll be back again Wednesday here for you guys, talking about defensive defensive line. So we're talking about the big boys here. The Gilbert Browns, the Vince Wilfork's of the world there, the big old fatties to that point that just block up the line there. Love those old fashioned players. And then Thursday, again, we'll be back talking about the mid-round quarterbacks for us as well. So we'll have that going on as we conclude our positional breakdowns for this NFL draft. And then next week, guys, we prepare for the draft. We're doing mocks. We're doing the last Giants mock draft. We're doing a full first-round mock draft. And then Thursday, Friday night, we will be live with every single pick. Saturday, we'll be live when the draft ends at that point to go over all the day 3 picks for the New York Giants. Basically, Rob and I will not have a life for the next couple weeks.
Pretty much.
Which is much like most of the weeks. It's what we do. We don't have a life. It's basically work and football. It is what it is.
It's a good life.
Yeah. Yeah. This needs a few more beers in it. Maybe some tequila. Or tequila rose. Yeah. I want tequila rose now. It's good stuff. Mix it with some vanilla ice cream. Makes a very good alcoholic shake. Anyway, guys.
Tequilas.
Appreciate you guys listening again. If you haven't already, do me a favor. Hit that like. Hit that subscribe. Ring that bell if you're on YouTube there. Tell a friend as well. That's what we really do get growth around. We have to spend a dollar in advertising the entire time ever doing this here for the last year and a half, year or so, since we've been doing it onto the video platforms here. About 2 years now, almost, on the audio only. As always, we are live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter / X, Twitch, Instagram, and of course, Rob's favorite,
Drew's LinkedIn page.
Oh, yes, my LinkedIn profile. And I will say this. I'm this close. If you guys are at all watching on the on Instagram, put a comment up at some point, you know, whether it's, you know, on one of the video clips or whatever, or you know, on the rating at that point, if you're doing the audio later on. I'm curious how many of you guys are actually looking up at Instagram, because to be honest, I'm just close to stopping Instagram because they're cutting us off after an hour, because that's the Instagram limits apparently. Plus, apparently I have to do all this extra work with adding a stream key and all this stuff to get it going. I'm like this close to giving up on Instagram. I really am. It's just, it's not worth it for you to kick me off after an hour. So for somebody who's watching us, because we want to give you guys actual, you know, a good amount of content, we have to go ahead and now tell you, oh, by the way, if you're on Instagram, it's close to an hour. You should probably go off somewhere else. So we might just stop Instagram. We'll see. Let's see. We'll see. Or maybe just get the first hour like we've been doing, and that's it.
Yeah.
Again, we're also on every single audio podcast platform on demand. So Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, all the big ones there. So we will see you guys there. Like I said, again, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as always. And as always, Giant fans.
Go J-Man!
Go J-Man! J-Man!
Thanks for listening to Two Giant Goofballs,
a New York Giants podcast.
We appreciate your support. If you made it this long, you must have enjoyed it. So I am sure you have followed us on all the social media platforms. Of course, you have subscribed to the show on your favorite app as well and given us a top rating. Right? Right? Right?